The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth.
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition. Well,
one major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... We love the Earth. Normal Show Live. Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon and welcome to the weekend, Tokers and Tokettes. It is Friday, November 19th, 2010, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us for our next 2 hours of live entertainment by, for, and about the cannabis community. Our first hour is podcast on iTunes and at our blog, stash.normal.org. It's called the Normal Daily Audio Stash. The second hour is just for you, joining us here live on StickAm. Thanks for being here. Joining me also here in the studio, pushing the buttons and turning the knobs, our own Ganja John.
How's it going, Russ?
It's going really well. And, of course, also joining us on the show from our studios in Grastoria, Oregon, Cannabis Carrie.
Hi, Russ. Hi, John. I can't believe it's Friday already. When did that happen?
Yay, it's Friday. It's the weekend before Thanksgiving weekend. And I did want to clue everyone in that next week on Thursday and Friday, we will have no shows as everybody's going to be doing the Thanksgiving thing.
I won't be here Wednesday.
And John won't be here Wednesday. So yeah. There we go. Everybody's got fair warning.
Yeah.
On today's show, we got plenty of stuff coming up. At half past the hour, we're going to talk with CelebStoner.com Steve Bloom to get the CelebStoner Entertainment Report. We'll learn all about the artists and musicians, sports figures, and so on that have been involved with the cannabis community in the news. Also, at 45 past the hour, we're going to speak with filmmaker Doug Ross. He's got a new documentary he's putting together called It's a Normal Life. So that'll be an interesting talk. At 20 past, we have our Daily Toker Tunes Rockin' Friday today with Herb Thrasher. He's going to be bringing us some great rockin' music for today's Daily Toker Tune. But before we get to that, we have our hemp headlines with Cannabis Carrie right after the first break. So what's in the news today, Carrie?
Well, it is Friday, so we're going to tie up some loose ends. We are going to look at the Leonhardt confirmation and let you know what's happening in that one. We haven't talked about K2 in a while, so we're going to talk about that. Also, a school in Nevada has something going on. We're going to tell you about that and an update of another story that we did this week. So lots of updates today, Russ.
All right. Sounds good. And before we go, I also wanted to bring up an email that I had received. You know, we did a couple of stories here where people were criticizing Normal, specifically these religious stories that I had been talking about. And I just wanted to bring up a thank you note that we received just so that we could say something nice as we go into the weekend. This came from a woman named Elizabeth who wrote to our own Keith Strop and said, thank you for asking how my son is. Home safe and sound. Any problems that came up our back was covered by Normal Legal Counsel, the wonderful and so generous men that helped us. And then she named the two Normal Legal Committee attorneys. Personally reviewed my son's charges, offered to attend court on a moment's notice, and took the time to contact and make arrangements with the public defender who offered assistance if we had problems retrieving the vehicle. These very generous attorneys gave me great comfort during a stressful experience, and they did this long distance, having never met myself or my son. Hard to say enough good things. Normal is on our Christmas list this and every year. You have been very good. Smiley face. Ah, that just warmed my heart. So thank you so
much.
That made
me feel good.
Yeah, and that's coming out of the Midwest. I'm not really going to identify the people or the state or anything like that. But this is a place where people could get in serious trouble for marijuana charges, and it's always good to hear that. We're back with your normal hemp headlines right after this.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Look, when I was a kid, I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Remember, Mr. President, you once were just one bust away from being Barry the drug criminal.
Life ain't a box of chocolates gone. That's why people smoke weed and take bumps and drink way too damn much and get drunk and do it all over again first of the month.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
Activists are still waiting for Michelle Lienhardt's official confirmation as we head into the weekend, but are more committed than ever to oppose her position after comments she made before the Senate Judiciary Committee on the first day of her Senate confirmation process. Lienhardt said that if confirmed to the position that she has already held for 3 years, she would expand the DEA's anti-cartel operations in Mexico and continue to enforce federal drug laws in states that have legalized medical marijuana. This is in direct opposition of the October 2009 Justice Department memo that the administration would no longer waste resources pursuing medical marijuana participants that were in compliance with their state laws. Lienhardt made the statements in response to Republican Senator Jeff Sessions of Alabama, who began his questions with a declaration of, quote, "I'm a big fan of the DEA." Senator Sessions then asked Lienhardt point blank if she would fight medical marijuana legalization. Ms. Lienhardt responded by saying, quote, "I have seen what marijuana use has done to young people. I have seen the abuse. I have seen what it has done to families. It's bad. If confirmed as administrator, we would continue to enforce the federal drug laws." Now, for his part in the questioning phase of the confirmation hearing, Representative Sessions continued to make marijuana legalization a main point, adding his own opinions on the matter. He said, quote, "These legalization efforts sound good to people. They say we could just end the problems of drugs if we could just make them legal. But any country that's tried that, Alaska and other places have tried it, have failed. It does not work," Sessions claimed. "We need people who are willing to say that. Are you willing to say that?" Sessions asked Lienhardt. She answered, "Yes, I've said that, Senator. You're absolutely correct about the social costs from drug abuse, especially from marijuana. Legalizers say it will help the Mexican cartel situation. It won't. It will allow states to balance budgets. It won't. No one is looking at the social cost of legalizing drugs," unquote. Now, most disappointing to advocates of medical marijuana and legalized marijuana for adults, although that was that despite a coalition of advocacy groups like ASA, MMP, and Normal calling on their members to ask Lienhardt tough questions regarding her public record, not a single senator did. So she will likely be formally confirmed to the position next week.
So she's got a cozy little cell for me and all my friends in federal prison.
Well, you know, yeah, and there's so much that I could say about the Lienhardt nomination, but I'd like her to take a look at this video that I've got that shows the people that she wants to lock up for medical marijuana. Let's run that video.
We have formed this cooperative collective. We are growing the marijuana. We are distributing it already to John Jones.
Recently, the LA Times reported on a group of Orange County senior citizens who are trying to gain access to medical marijuana. Local authorities are sympathetic, but no landlord will rent them space for a dispensary. Desperate for relief, they're taking matters into their own hands.
One night at 3 a.m., I woke up and I didn't make it to the washroom. And at that point, everything in my body had erupted out of every orifice, and I'm lying in my own, pardon the expression, crap. And I thought, I can't stand this. This isn't me. If I had a gun, it would have been over at that point. But I went to this meeting, and I met Tracy, and I saw this booklet that says multiple sclerosis, medical marijuana. And it just verbally poured out of me that I needed help and anything they could give. And that night, again, these waves of nausea, followed by vomiting that goes to the bottom of my toes and so forth. And before that happened, I took a puff for the first time in my life, and I sat back, and, well, maybe it's safe to go to bed. And from that time on, I have felt as if I had something to help me. I keep control of a body that can go out of control, and it will in the future. But it gave me hope.
And your story, it's phenomenal, and it's criminal that this is not available, that people don't know this.
I think we're ready for that point where we can get four or five people together, find a site for cultivating, and then distributing it. But you know all the guts of how to work that. I don't.
Just find a spot. That.
Just find a spot.
You know, we have in the Goodwoods Village that's really cool is atriums. They're completely enclosed. It's the perfect, it seems to me, after looking at this, it's
perfect private spot.
I'm a physician. I know nothing about marijuana. I need to make an appointment with Tracy.
Yes.
To learn how to talk to patients and telling them how this can be used effectively. We'll build an army of patients.
This basic information that you're going to give on this panel, which is that you can't become addicted, it's not going to interfere with anything.
No deaths from marijuana.
No deaths from marijuana.
That was astonishing.
But tremendous relief.
Yeah.
It's a whole new world. It gave me hope. And that's really what it amounts to. And I'm sure I'm not alone.
Now, just an amazing video from Americans for Safe Access and the Common Sense for Drug Policy, and it perfectly encapsulates some of the people that Michelle Leonhardt thinks ought to be put in a jail cell for using marijuana.
As local governments and some state governments are banning the chemical substance that is known as synthetic marijuana, often sold as K2 or Spice, the Polk County Sheriff Grady Judd of Florida is making good on his promise to crack down on stores that sell it. This week, the Central Florida Sheriff announced that more than a dozen arrests have been made over the controversial product that is sold as incense, but is really an inert combination of dried herbs sprayed with the chemical JWH-18 or a similar byproduct. On Thursday, undercover detectives purchased the products at various outlets, and those clerks behind the counter were then arrested and charged with the sale of an imitation controlled substance, a third-degree felony in Florida. Sheriff Judd says the effort is necessary since the product is often sold to children. Legislation is proposed for next year's session to classify the synthetic marijuana as an illegal narcotic. Now, meanwhile, one of the reasons for the explosive popularity of the new substance is coming to an end. A company called NorChem in Flagstaff, Arizona, has now come up with a lab-based test that definitively confirms the presence in the urine of JWH-18, JWH-19, JWH-73, and JWH-250, the four most commonly seen forms of synthetic marijuana. The test was developed primarily for the criminal justice system, including drug courts, probation, parole, and treatment centers, and the company was allowed to retest hundreds of randomly pulled specimens of individuals that are on court ordered not to use mind or behavior altering substances. And the company's claiming they detected the synthetic cannabinoid in over 60% of those samples tested. The specimens that were tested had previously tested negative for drugs of abuse. The company says that the samples they tested showed geographic trends of use, mainly in Nevada, Colorado, Southern Arizona, Kansas, and Southern California.
Wow. Okay. Well, first of all, I the notion that there is a charge for being caught with an imitation controlled substance, like if I take a bunch of oregano in a baggie and try to sell it in Florida, can they bust you for that? Maybe. I don't know.
Yes, Russ. They absolutely can bust you for that. There's been a case of people trying to pass off something other than marijuana that looked like marijuana. So it's absolutely a crime in Florida to sell oregano and call it marijuana.
Or I suppose powdered sugar and call it cocaine or anything. anything else like that. Okay. All right. So a new drug test. Well, this reminds me of the, you know, my days growing up in the 80s in the arms race between the Soviet Union and the United States, right? It was like, oh, we have new missile. Oh, so we have new missile shield. And now we've got a new missile. Oh, we have new anti-missile that shoots down missile. This is what's happening now with this, with drug testing, is we're just creating more synthetic cannabinoids. They'll create more tests to catch them. We'll create more synthetic types of drugs. They'll create more tests to catch them. Everybody makes money as long as we're going to jail for getting high.
A Northern Nevada school principal is defending the suspensions of 12 students for posting pro-marijuana signs on campus. The Carson Valley Middle School principal, Robert Bean, says the signs reading "Legalize Weed" and "Free the Weed" caused a disruption for classmates. He says they violated a policy requiring all signs to be pre-approved by staff before being displayed. The group hung nearly 30 signs at the Gardner School as part of a protest after three classmates were taken into custody on suspicion of smoking marijuana next to the campus on November 9th. Alan Lichtenstein of the American Civil Liberties Union of Nevada questions whether the signs caused a disruption and thinks their message spurred the crackdown on the students.
Well, of course the message spurred the crackdown, but they're within their rights, at least as far as our Supreme Court has decided. I mean, I think this was pretty much settled with the Bong Hits for Jesus case. And in that case, the kids were putting up, these were high school kids, not middle schoolers, that were out of the school. They were outside of school, and they put up a sign that said Bong Hits for Jesus on the route of, I believe it was the torch, the Olympic torch coming through, something like a very important thing where the whole town was gathered around, and they had gotten time off school to put that sign up. So they're not in school. It's not on school property. They put up a thing that says Bong Hits for Jesus, and they got suspended for that, and that got upheld by the Supreme Court. So I can see if middle schoolers are putting up pro-pot signs in the school, how they're in trouble for that as well. Not that I'm for it. Not that I support it. I'm just explaining why the school administrators thought they could get away with it.
And an update on a story we covered this week of the American soldiers who broke into a Colorado medical marijuana dispensary only to get locked inside. The Gazette newspaper in Colorado Springs has published a police affidavit that says that two of the three Fort Carson soldiers told officers they were trying to steal the marijuana so they could destroy it. They said they did not plan on smoking it or selling it, but were on a mission to destroy the medical marijuana. At least two of the three soldiers remained behind bars in an El Paso County jail with a $10,000 bond each. All three are expected in court next Wednesday, November 24th.
Yeah, that's what we were doing. We were breaking in to try to destroy the marijuana.
I hate drugs.
Yeah, we hate those drug-smoking hippies. It was Operation Plant Killer. Yeah, that was it. Operation Herbicide.
Enduring Freedom.
Yeah, that's what it was. Sure thing. Oh, my God.
Sorry, my button's not working.
Oh, no.
Okay, I'll just tell you, there's one more left. New Jersey senators are scheduled to vote this Monday, November 22nd, on a resolution to force state health officials to revise the proposed regulations for the state's medical marijuana law. The proposed regulations would make an already restrictive program nearly unworkable. So we're just urging you to contact your state senator and urge them to vote yes on SCR 130 because the proposed rules violate the intent of the law. Limiting the manufacture of medical cannabis to only two licensed facilities, restricting the number of strains, potencies, and requiring doctors to register and then see patients every 3 months to wean them off of medical cannabis is not acceptable in a state medical marijuana program.
Absolutely. I mean, we're going to have two grow sites, three strains, four dispensaries, 10% limit on the THC, require the doctors to register, require the doctors to every 3 months try to wean their patients off of medical marijuana. I believe now that the latest proposal is that if you want to use your medical marijuana, you cannot do it in a public place. You have to do it in your home, in the basement, chained to a radiator on every odd Thursdays at 3 in the morning. Come on now. This is obviously not the intent of the legislation. I mean, the first way you can tell that the intent of the legislation hasn't been obeyed is that the legislation, one of the groups that it protects are people who are terminal with less than 12 months to live. right there, the intent of the legislation to try to help people out, you're stalling it so long, Governor Christie, that those people will be dead before there's any medical marijuana program that they can apply to. Talk about not following the intent of the legislation. You can go to our webpage at normal.org. We've got a front page announcement about these New Jersey regulations and links that you can use to contact these New Jersey legislators. And remember, you don't have to live in New Jersey to make your voice known. You can call them and tell them what you think, that this is ridiculous. Implement the law as the people intended.
I think it's time for a break.
It is time for a break. It's 20 after the hour, and thanks everybody for joining us here. Everybody in the East time zone, 4:20. For the rest of us, it's 4:20 anyway.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Been busted? Need a lawyer? Call the Normal Legal Committee for an attorney near you. Find one at norml.org. Remember, attorneys are cheaper than a lifelong criminal drug record.
Is that freedom? Freedom. I'm free to do whatever.
Marijuana and alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence. Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? By Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit MarijuanaIsSafer.com.
It's time for your Daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we take you into the weekend with Rockin' Friday, our segment featuring the best rock, metal, punk, and jam band music, brought to you by Herb Thrasher at herbthrasher.com. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes. Oh, I love when we get to the weekend here, 23 after the hour, and we pick up the phone with Herb Thrasher, our resident metalhead. How you doing, Herb?
All right, Russ. How's it going today? Ganja John, Cannabis Carrie, how you guys doing?
We're doing good.
It's a great show, and I'm looking forward, of course, to tonight. We've got the Boise State-Fresno game. I hope we're ready to go at the old Herb location for watching that.
Yeah, we are going to be ready. I can see you're already wearing your game day T-shirt.
You're right. We're ready to go, and very excited to be playing the SEC in 2011. We got a game with Georgia that's just been booked.
How about that? That's going to be a real football game, guys.
Yeah, we
might be involved.
We might not be 31-point favorites for that one.
That's outstanding. Now, I'm real proud of you guys, Russ, for stepping up to the plate on this one. It's good times.
Thank you so much. So what's what you got?
Ready to rock,
man. Yeah, let's rock. What you got?
All right, man. So today we're going to stay in Texas. Texas seems to be a good place to rock these days. So we're going to stay in Texas. And our band, a new band this time, you guys, if you don't like this name, there's just something wrong. Hognose. And the album is El Sombrero. That just spell rock right there, Hognose?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so Hognose has taken everything you've heard before, the good stuff, and distilled it into a handful of songs. It's powerful, heavy, visceral rock and roll, and with the Pantheon influences to speak of. Hognose has the doomy riffs of Sabbath and the Southern by Grace Texas swagger of ZZ Top, the expansive, atmospheric sensibilities of Pink Floyd, plus epic tendencies of the stoniest of stoner bands. Hell, if you even listen closely, you might could pick out a few more references. So on some El Sombrero, you can take your pick of great songs. You've got the foot stomping drive of Weed Billy and the first song, which is creatively named The First Song, and the Sabbath-inspired crunch of Hunting Rake or the good old boy of Metalark. All of those have the hog nose sound, a strong combination of riffs and hooks, all drenched in Texas boogie. Throw in a couple more solid tunes and end with a faithful rendition of Pink Floyd's Breathe, probably with a little growls, though. I suspect they're going to have some growls in that one.
Yeah.
And you've got the makings of a killer rock album. Hog nose are getting better and better, and El Sombrero is the proof. So what do you get when you have a little bit of weed and a little bit of hell, Billy? You get Weed Billy, guys.
All
rock
right.
On. Horns up. Rock it Friday.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch-long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
If I were to tell you that in America, right now, over 1 million children sell marijuana, what would you think?
Would you think that any public policy that creates over 1 million teenage marijuana dealers needs to be re-examined and possibly amended? You would not be alone. The members of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, a.k.a. NORML, have been working since 1970 to reform marijuana laws such that responsible adults, not children, sell and use marijuana. Isn't it high time to reform America's misguided marijuana laws? This is Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of NORML in Washington, D.C. Only concerned citizens can effectively end the federal government's nearly 70-year-old prohibition on responsible adult marijuana sales and use. Want to know more about how you can help? Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's popular and informative webpage at NORML, NORML.org.
Marijuana culture is infused throughout America and the world. As we round out the week, we take a look at the 420 phenomenon in movies, TV, music, and sports with former High Times editor and author of Pot Culture, Steve Bloom, in our CelebStoner.com entertainment news.
Welcome back, everyone. 31 after the hour, and joining us from New York City is Steve Bloom from CelebStoner.com. Steve, great to talk to you again.
Hey, Russ, how are you?
I'm doing good. It might be the first time we've spoken since the election, so any thoughts about that before we get to the entertainment stories?
I'm just so happy we won in Arizona.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
It gave us something to, because it was so depressing to lose, four elections on one night or four major ballots. Votes, and it was great that we eked out that win in Arizona.
Yeah, it's a good thing we squeaked through that, and the Kamala Harris taking the attorney general's race out there in California.
Good news as well.
Yeah. There was other good stuff going on in California way that, made a lot of news. And that, of course, we saw the Dallas TV sports reporter reporting on the World Series. And, of course, Tim Lincecum is your top celeb stoner. Let's talk a little bit about the World Series and old Timmy.
Well, it was a great thing, great to see the Giants win the first time in 56 years. I'm a New Yorker, and actually my father is an old New York Giants fan, so I'm a Met fan, so my National League allegiance really stems from that, and also my mother being from Brooklyn. Even though they now live in the Bronx and have long been Yankee fans, and I grew up a Yankee fan, but I switched when I was a kid, became a Met fan when the Mets started in the mid-60s, and followed them religiously ever since. We haven't had too much luck, but so with the Giants winning, it was kind of an extension. So I think there are a lot of Met fans rooting for the Giants. And then, in addition to all that, there was the stoner element with Tim Lincecum, having been arrested last year for marijuana, and then having won two Cy Young Awards in his second and third years in the pros. And then we just followed him all year long as Celeb Stoner. He was sort of like our guy to watch. And he had a great year. He was 16-10. He didn't win his third straight Cy Young, primarily because he had a bad August. He lost five in a row in August, but came on really strong in September and helped lead the Giants into the playoffs. And he had a really terrific playoffs. He was 4-1. He won the final World Series game. He won the first game. He really should have been the MVP, but they gave it to Rick Theria because he got the big hit, big hits in the World Series. So we were kind of like isolating on the Giants a lot all season long because of Tim. And then there were other elements, obviously San Francisco being, the most counterculture, big city in America, not to, diss Portland or any other of the great cities on the West Coast. And so, that alone, qualifies them to, to be a focus. Also, they had, where else would you have a Jerry Garcia night this year at a stadium? They devote, the 15th anniversary of Jerry's death, they did a tribute to Jerry Garcia with Jerry bobbleheads, the whole Jerry Garcia section. Bob Weir and Phil Esch were there for the national anthem. Mickey Hart did a big kazoo thing on Take Me Out to the Ball Game. What fun. I wish I was there. And then furthermore, when Lincecum had his slump in August, it started this whole campaign to let Timmy smoke because people felt that maybe the reason why he wasn't pitching well is because, he couldn't smoke pot, at least during the season. They're probably watching him pretty closely and probably drug testing him. So, it was a little bit of a, an in-joke, I mean, that, maybe he needs a little assistance. And so there were all these T-shirts, and it was just a great thing. And then, as you say,
during the World Series, there was that famous clip of the reporter, you know, doing his
on-site,
you know, pregame interview, and there's a bunch of people smoking, you know, in the McCovey Cove area. It just added to all the fun. So, you know, I was just really happy. I had nothing against the Texas Rangers, you know, a really good team, but it was just sort of the Giants' year.
Yeah, it was. You know, I was actually driving down. Carrie and I were driving down I-5, probably on the 580 by the time this happened, but we were on our way to Oaksterdam, Prop 19 headquarters, for our live coverage. And you know me, I'm not really a baseball guy, but I'm flipping through the radio, and you know, you can never find anything decent when you're on the road, but I found the ESPN feed of the game, and I had just turned it on, you know, as Renteria was coming up to bat to hit that three-run homer, and we listened to it from that point on, and I only was listening to it because I knew Tim Lincecum was playing. So there's definitely the Stoner tie-in on that.
You caught on a little late there, but at least you caught the best part.
I caught the best part. Is my baseball experience for the year. You know, we've also got all sorts of other stuff to talk about in the world of celeb stoner news. In the world of sports, you've got another couple of receivers here, one charged with DUI, the Bucks' top receiver, Mike Williams.
Yeah, what's going on in the water in Tampa Bay? I mean, in the last month or so, two of their receivers, leading receivers, have been arrested. One for marijuana, Jeremy Stevens. You know, the usual car bus driving along, gets stopped and, you know, smoked out car, or at least it smells enough to justify a search. And he was found with a little bit over an ounce. The Bucks didn't wait. They cut him.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't even, you know, wait to find out whether there was any kind of anything false about the arrest. You know, they just let him go. He had a little bit of a track record. A lot of these guys do. So it's like, if they get in trouble, the first sign of any more trouble, you know, that's it. Now, this guy, Mike Williams, who got arrested last night, early this morning, on a DUI in Tampa, you know, he actually didn't exceed the alcohol limit, but they still arrested him because they felt that, you know, he had alcohol in his breath, or they believe he's glassy-eyed, and they brought him in for a urine test. They released him, and so, you know, who knows what they're going to find in the urine test. And interesting thing about this guy, you know, he's a draft pick for this year's Tampa Buccaneers, and he was a fourth round pick out of Syracuse. He went kind of like, he didn't go high in the draft because he had some issues at college, and so it kind of like he fell down the chart, but it turns out he became a starter, and he's the best receiver on the team. He's having a great season. He's got 5 TDs, 40 catches. He's up there in the NFL, you know, leaders in yards and receptions. So now becomes the big question, does he play or not on Sunday? And this came up with the Jets about a month ago with Braylon Edwards having a DUI, and it was his big campaign in New York that he shouldn't play. The Jets decided they would bench him for a quarter, you know, to try and calm down everybody. It's like, hey, we need Braylon Edwards on our team, and we need him to win. And the Jets are all about winning. I don't really think they care. They have assembled a cast of characters of the Jets, including Santonio Holmes, by the way.
Right.
You know, our Super Bowl stoner who won a big game for the Jets on Sunday. You know, obviously they're not very concerned about his past, and he has a drug arrest and a marijuana arrest and some other, you know, legal issues in the past, so the Jets don't seem to really care. But because there was such a drumbeat to bench him, the Jets benched him for a quarter. So it's very interesting. What is Tampa going to do? Here's the guy they need out there on the field on Sunday, but he got into trouble. So will they or won't they, you know?
Yeah, we'll just have to stay tuned and find out. You know, the weekend before the election, Prop 19 election, on the live broadcast of Bill Maher's show, Real Time with Bill Maher, comedian Zach Galifianakis made headlines and got me a ton of hits on my website, by the way, for smoking a joint on the show live. What did you think about that, and have you followed any aftermath of that incident?
Well, you know, it was great. I mean, Zach is sort of my new favorite. I've known him for a while. I followed him for a while. I actually met him at the Cannabis Cup years ago when nobody knew who he was. He had a VH1 show or an MTV show or something like that years ago that didn't last for very long. And he was a friend of a friend, came to the Cup and did a little comedy bit, and I met him there. And, you know, I just sort of just generally following his career. Also met him with Doug Benson doing his Doug Benson Interruption show not too long ago. And, you know, Zach's kind of a cool guy. And he's sort of like in this new vanguard of like stoner comedy. comic actors like Seth Rogen and Jonah Hill, mm-hmm. and they're all kind of like, you know, sort of out of the same mold in a sense where, you know, they're not your classic leading guys, leading men in movies, yet they're getting really good roles, and oftentimes in their roles they get to smoke pot. And so in this movie Due Date that's out right now, you know, Zach, you know, character, you know, smokes pot pretty much throughout, and he basically at the beginning of the road trip with Robert Downey in Due Date, he goes to buy some medical marijuana from somebody he finds on Craigslist, and it becomes an ongoing gag throughout the whole movie. He never puts down the weed. It's never like a negative consequence about it all. And so I think Zach might have been thinking a little bit to promote Due Date, you know, okay, I'm going to go on the show and smoke and also kind of promote the idea of, you know, passing Prop 19. As it turns out, Bill Maher has said that it wasn't marijuana. It was, you know, he said it was like clove or something. And Maher's joke was, hey, if it was real pot, I would have smoked it. And it was interesting because Zach, you know, Zach lights up and then he passes it across Bill to the lady, I forget her name, who is sitting, you know, sort of across them.
Right.
And he doesn't pass it to Bill. And she looks at it, she smells it, doesn't smoke it. It almost seemed like they knew it was coming. Like, hey, I'm going to do this. And then Maher's gag also was like, you know, Zach's crazy, but he's not that crazy to smoke pot on the show. So my, you know, so I you know, it was more of a, I think, a stunt than anything else.
Yeah. I wonder, you know, if it had any effect though on people's perceptions or may have changed the vote in any way. Any thoughts on that?
Well, it couldn't have hurt, but obviously we lost by over 500,000 votes in California, so maybe he should have smoked too.
Yeah, maybe. Okay. I also want to make sure that we talk about your new book that's out, The Reefer Movie Madness, The Ultimate Stoner Film Guide, that you co-authored with Shirley Halperin. How is that going, and have you got any new dates for that book or stuff people need to know about?
Well, right now, the book came out October 1st, and so we did our sort of round of publicity, East Coast and West Coast. We had parties in L.A. and New York, and so kind of that is past, and now we're just going to do whatever comes along, waiting, you know, for, you know, maybe the next round of expos and stuff to go out there and promote the book. And if anybody, you know, would like me or Shirley to be at their film festival or be a judge or do something, you know, that is connected to this, we're available. But we're just, you know, basically promoting it as best as possible, you know, using Slope Stoner. Just posted a contest, a giveaway for a signed copy of the book. I'm asking people to send in their list of their top three favorite stoner movies, and then we're going to go through all of that and pick a winner. So, you know, just, you know, very much DIY, you know, even though the book comes out through a nice major publisher, Abrams, here in New York, you know, you really have to do it yourself. You know, they're not going to really do that much for you. You know, you really have to put on your thinking cap and say, okay, what else can I do? And I unveiled the book at the Normal Conference, you know, as you know, of course, back in September in Portland. And we'll continue to do anything and everything that anybody would be interested in us doing. You know, I have a presentation that I did at the Normal Conference. I'm willing to do that anywhere. You know, if anybody wants that kind of presentation, and then that could change. You know, we could always change the movies. And but pretty much the idea is telling a brief history of stoner movies in a video presentation. The book does it in more of a detailed presentation because there's over 600 movies listed and written about in the book. So for the video presentation, that's more like 25 movies that you see, you know, short scenes, and then, you know, stitch together the history of how marijuana and other drugs have been portrayed and depicted in the movies over the years. How has it changed? Obviously from Reefer Madness and that era of the 30s when it was all about exploitation to, you know, moving it into the 60s and when things really started to shift, with especially with movies like Easy Rider, and into the 70s with the funny ha-ha stuff of Cheech mm-hmm. and Chong, and then, you know, pretty much going through the 80s era, which was a little more cocaine-oriented, Scarface-y, and then coming into the 90s, where there was sort of this new appreciation of marijuana in the movies, you know, starting with movies like Dazed and Confused and Half-Baked and The Big Lebowski, and then into this era, you know, where now we have this genre, a full-fledged genre called the stoner movie. So we await the next stoner movies of 2011.
Oh yeah, we'll be checking them out at celebstoner.com. We can always find the latest reviews and information on music and sports and TV and movies. It's always a great resource, and we love having you on your show, Steve. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Russ.
All right, when we come back, we'll be speaking with Doug Ross, a filmmaker behind the new documentary, It's a Normal Life. Stay tuned, it's Normal Show Live.
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for baking pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place. Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smokers Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times Magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smokers Handbook wove all of this collected wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
If you like what you hear and would like to donate to the cause, send your check or money order to Normal Show Live, 1600 K Street Northwest, Suite 501, Washington, D.C., 20006. Your donation is a tax-deductible gift to the Normal Foundation and will be used to help support this online media. Thank you. The effects of marijuana prohibition are felt by all Americans in every walk of life, regardless of race, creed, color, religion, social status, wealth, gender, sexual orientation, or even one's use or non-use of marijuana. As the marijuana smokers lobby, Normal hears the stories of these average Americans and brings them to the attention of our policymakers and our fellow citizens in this segment we call Normal Newsmakers.
Welcome back, everyone. 45 after the hour, and joining us by telephone is filmmaker Doug Ross, who's the man behind a new documentary that they're working on called It's a Normal Life. Doug, welcome to the show.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. I'm calling from the Washington, D.C. area.
Oh, excellent.
And, the headquarters for Normal. I'm not actually at the headquarters right now.
that's right. We're located on K Street, 1600 K Street Northwest, Suite 501. If you're in Washington, Doug, just for our listeners out there, if you're ever in Washington, D.C., stop by the office. It's a really cool office, and we have all sorts of memorabilia going back, you know, over the four decades of Normal's time, portraits by Hunter Thompson and some great other stuff out there. Check it out. Normal's headquarters, 1600 K Street Northwest, Suite 501. Doug, so I wanted to talk to you about this this documentary because I do believe you know It's a Normal Life is you're talking about the activists and the work in Normal. Tell folks about the film you intend to produce.
Well, it started some time ago with another co-producer, Rod Pittman, who lives up in Portland. And he had interviewed several people at one of the Normal conferences in, I believe it was Berkeley. And they had a lot of footage, and they didn't have a real story put together. So they called me, and I'm a documentary maker. My brief background, I've been at History Channel and NASA TV and PBS, and for 30 years that's what I do. So they called me, and essentially I started shooting more footage and started right here in D.C. with the Normal office and talked with Keith Stroff and Alan St. Pierre and other people that worked at the D.C. Headquarters. And then we went from there. I started interviewing people in the D.C. Initiative for the proposition that actually won, and now D.C. will have medical marijuana starting in next year with I believe, four dispensaries. And I said, well, let's do a trip. And so the last summer, I started in Venice and Santa Monica and Los Angeles. And I worked my way up through San Francisco and Oakland and Berkeley and Portland and wound up at the Hemp Fest in Seattle. Oh, and there was a side trip to Arcata and Humboldt County.
No good.
I essentially interviewed doctors, patients, activists, and regular folks, you know, just the people that weren't, been involved. So with all this huge amount of people talking about the medical marijuana subject, there now we have a story. And I've edited the thing down to about, I believe it's 82 or 83 minutes, which is almost an hour and a half. And it's huge because we're talking all the different the patients' views and the normal activists and the history of it too. So what you'll see in this documentary is what's happening currently in different states, and you'll see the history of the medical marijuana movement and parts of normals for people that don't know. So you get educated not only in the history of medical marijuana, but also what's happening right now. Now, everybody's wanting to see where is it? Where is it? When's it going to be out? Well, we're dealing with two distributors right now, and we're trying to iron out how and where and when this thing will be released. But there is something on a website right now on YouTube. Now, you mentioned, I sent you a link, and I was hoping you'd gotten
it. Oh, yeah, let's see if we can pull that link up. Maybe we can get that video up on here while we're talking. And while I'm looking that up, I did have a question. You know, you mentioned being out there in the Washington, D.C. area and speaking with people out there, the activists that were working on the D.C. medical marijuana, and then coming out here to the West Coast. What are some of the differences, or even what are some of the similarities between the activists working on the East Coast and the activists working on the West Coast?
Well, okay, well, the first thing is that over here the laws are so much more restrictive and conservative as opposed to being in the West. Now, I'm not from the D.C. area. I grew up out in the Bay Area and also lived in Hawaii. So I consider myself a Westerner to begin with. Most of my life I've lived over in the far West. And L.A. also. And so here, it's sort of a new topic, and people are fearful because they don't understand, and they see, and then they're sort of stereotyping the Western the folks of, you know, the old throwback of the hippie days and things.
Mm-hmm.
Yet everybody I talked to, and I spoke to them about, you know, the different strains and where it's at today, they're all like, wow, I'd try that, you know, so... So generally, the population says, oh, we'd love to do that, but they have no idea on how to organize it or get it through any of the legislatures, which are probably pretty much anti-medical marijuana at this point because the grip that the DEA has on the East Coast, although it's slowly making its way through, as they see in the West and the rest of states, even Vermont, which is obviously East Coast state. There is some cracks, and people are making some progress. So New Jersey and Maryland and now D.C., the District of Columbia, has passed some sort of laws that are helping. So we'll see in the next few years. But as far as the general population, everyone's for it. Everyone's for it. That's the one thing I can tell you that's similar on both sides is they're always for it. The only difference, of course, on the West side, West Coast, is that it's pretty much open now, and it's tax and regulated in Oakland and Berkeley and all, and like you do in you have it open in Portland and the state of Oregon. So I'm really excited about it. But I wanted to mention one thing was that one thing Vivian McPeak said in one of the interviews we talked to him about the different things he brought up. That, you know, even if you're not for medical marijuana or you use this as a recreational aspect, he says it's about freedom and it's about people's rights and access to a medicine. And if you look at it at that point and forget about the baggage that it's had, the marijuana has had and cannabis has had over the years, it really is. It's about access. It's about freedom. It's about medicine. And, you know, this being, you know, the health care year that got passed with you know, the Democrats and I guess obviously they were the only ones who voted for it. So I was really struck by that, and I thought, well, this is the story that everyone should be watching.
Yes.
And so when you see this documentary, you'll see that, you know, all the different individuals that have afflictions and things, and it really does help them, and the doctors, you know, prove it and show the scientific side. It's pretty amazing what you'll find. And my hope is that when we show this and get this thing out to the public into the different states that don't have any opportunities for people to have medical marijuana, they'll be able to use this and show this to their communities and their legislatures and get this ball rolling to get this whole thing done before the next few years or so. And I feel like if I can be there and help, then I think it's gonna work.
Well, we're speaking with Doug Ross, the filmmaker behind the It's a Normal Life documentary. I've got that link up, and we've got the video ready. Are we good to show that to our audience here?
I hope so.
Okay. Well, Doug, I got to let you know that while we're showing this, you won't hear it because we have to switch feeds, but we'll be back with you here in about 2 minutes after this is done, okay?
Okay. And I've got to ask the public about something when you come back.
Will do. This is the video, It's a Normal Life.
What is cannabis? Cannabis, of course, is a medicine.
I think it's important to say that no medication is going to work for everybody all the time.
It's a specific for migraines. It's a specific for seizures.
The take on the plant is that it's symbiotic with the human.
You can get something that's natural, that has literally zero side effects.
Yet it works as almost a ubiquitous inhibitor of a lot of systems in the brain.
The science is absolutely clear. The pharmaceuticalization of cannabis is just beyond the horizon.
I think it's easier for men to come out and say they support it because women have a lot more on the line. You know, if they're mothers, then they have their kids on the line.
So I tried it, and at first, it freaked me out. I had a few panic attacks.
I have read enough on the subject of using marijuana for glaucoma that I'm convinced that it helps. It makes me really mad that I have to be a criminal to avoid getting blind.
We know that cannabis can prevent Alzheimer's, it can prevent and cure cancer, and if it can reduce all these ailments and keep your stress level low, that adds years to your life before you're even sick.
But once you just let go with it and just be, it does so many things.
Opens consciousness, opens the doors of perception, expands consciousness, and puts you in a receptive state.
And so the petrochemical, pharmaceutical, military, industrial, transnational, corporate fascist elite SOBs vilified the cannabis plant.
We're all grown up now. We're not in the closet anymore. We don't give a fuck what you think. We smoke marijuana.
I like to say when I give lectures, I start off by saying I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
Part of what we're doing with Oregon Normal is trying to maximize the Oregon Medical Marijuana Act and try to help the patients that truly need the medicine.
America's ready for a change in the marijuana laws. We're reached critical mass to change this critical mess.
Let's hope we can all live together in peace and harmony, love, and legalize marijuana, for God's sake.
Oh, that's a great video. Of course, Ray Manzarek from The Doors was featured in that. Keith Straub, Alan St. Pierre, Sabrina Fendrick, and even me. That's great. Thanks, Doug.
And my personal hero, Doug Hyatt.
Oh, yes. He's wild man.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's a little more calm than... But today, that day, he was pretty worked up, but I think he's... He's pretty even-keeled guy most of the time.
Oh, yeah, and Doug's working on legalization up there in Washington State, just another one of our normal activists that are doing so much to try to end prohibition. You said you had a question for the public, Doug. Let's get to that. What's your question?
Well, it was more of a plea, I guess. In my journeys in the last few months and going around talking to all the different people and things, one thing that you don't see a lot of in the video is marijuana either being smoked or grown in fields or in grow rooms or anything. And we wanted to show actually more of the plant itself, and we just never got access to it. And I guess, it was sort of like the old Hitchcock thing where they call it a MacGuffin. They talk about it all the time, but you never see it. And yeah. I don't know. If the public, I'm trying to make this documentary a little more democratic where people can participate in it, as we did with the people in the video. I'm wondering if anybody out there has any high-def footage or nice photographs of different states of the plant, whether it's in grow rooms, whether it's harvested.
Well, I'm sure we can get our listeners to put that together. Send me emails at stash@normal.org, high def video or photos. We could definitely help you out, Doug.
I'd love to add it to the video. Not that it needs any more links, but I think when people talk about it at great length, I'd like to show it. And I can understand why they didn't allow us.
Yeah, it's always difficult when we're doing these films. We've got to wrap things up, Doug. I'm sorry about that, to have to cut you off, but we got 1 minute left here. Want to thank everyone for joining us here for hour one of the show. For Cannabis Carry, Ganja John, I'm Radical Russ. And Doug, we'll be back for hour two. If you want to stay on the line, we can continue talking.
Okay, great.
All right, coming up in hour two, more with Doug Ross. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
Is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.